Good morning. When I was a child, there was a show on TV called Romper Room. And in Romper Room, the host of the show, which was this woman that I can't remember her name, but she looked through a looking glass out to her TV audience, which was non-existent, and she said, "I see Billy, and I see Susie, and I see Kaylee, and I see..." And she went on and named all the people that she sees. So today, I see Shirley, and I see Kaylee, and I see Danny, and I see all the people that are listening right now to our message. And I pray that I see you in my heart throughout this whole thing, because it's very hard to preach to an empty room. In today's lesson, Paul is in prison, and he says he rejoices in his suffering. He, as we've said in previous weeks, is writing to the church at Colossae, where some people were combining false teaching with Christianity. Then they spouted that they had secret knowledge. Well, we have some secret knowledge for them today, and for all generations of false teacher, including to this very day. But it's really no secret, as we proclaim the living Christ. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 24, Paul said, "I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions." Within a short time, theologians began arguing about this text. Was Paul saying that Jesus' atonement for our sins was not sufficient? Hardly. In Hebrews, it said that Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered and was, and once made perfect, became the source of our salvation. His prayers were heard and accepted by God the Father because of his reverent submission. So some suffering is needed for maturity. In fact, we have to go through the birth pains of the new age of Jesus' return in order to arrive. Mark 13:8 says, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines, and I might add, COVID." These are the beginning of the birth pains. In verse 25, Paul goes on to talk about himself being a servant to Christ's body, which is the church. We've sung a song for many years called "We Are the Church Together." We've experienced ups and downs in the church. And now comes this virus that has literally turned our lives around in a very few short weeks. We don't have freedom to assemble large crowds. We don't have freedom to go into businesses anymore whenever we want. And many have lost their income source. Paul and Jesus both learned that suffering produced obedience as they waited on God the Father for answers and guidance. Are we ready to do the same? How many times have we fallen short of obedience to growing as a Christian because we have been more focused on fixing something than focused on obedience to the Maker of all things? And perhaps when our closets are clean and our garages are pristine, when unused things have been donated and we are at the end of our projects during this self-quarantine, maybe then we understand that as Christian Americans, we have been truly blessed. We have not had to suffer much, and we have taken so many of our blessings for granted.
Amen.
Is this part of the mystery of the Word of God and its fullness? Do we now have time and enough focus to realize that God is full, God is complete in His Word, in Jesus, the Word made flesh, that we want for nothing else? Spurgeon said, "The sacrificial sufferings of Jesus are over, but His body, the church, still experiences pain and affliction. We experience literally the pressures that come in life. That's because God is building something magnificent in us." This past year, Ricky and Veronica took on a big undertaking. They tore down their house and rebuilt on their same property. The process was difficult and long, but the final result was beautiful. C.S. Lewis used that analogy in his book, Mere Christianity, to help us understand the pain that we sometimes have to go through. He said, to imagine ourselves as living houses. God comes along to rebuild the house. At first, we may understand because we see that there's clearly some changes that need to be made, like the leak in the roof. We get it. But then he starts doing a much bigger thing. He starts knocking down walls, and we do not understand that. He's building a much different house than we expected. What we expected was a comfy little cottage, and instead, God is building a palace with extra depth, with more floors, with courtyards. He's building a house that's big enough for Him to come and live in it with us. See, Philip Green says, God is at work in us, making us into beautiful people, palaces fit for His dwelling. But sometimes that process involves a little pain. So listen to the pain, especially as it drives you closer to Jesus Christ. And then listen to God's Word, which is all about Jesus Christ. In verse 27, Paul goes on to say that God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We will suffer, we will pay consequences for bad decisions, but if we remain in Christ, He will remain in us. And then we can start anew. He is truly the hope of glory. He is the hope in a mound of debt that our nation just took on to get us through this pandemic. He is the hope in a world of uncertainty. Jesus embodies the richness of God's hope. And we have felt much too comfortable and too certain about our world, about this community, about this family in which we dwell. And now we can see how in a few short days or minutes even, our comfort zone can be taken down. It is the hope of Christ that offers the only real comfort zone in our lives. Green said, all we have to do is get close to Him and stay close to Him. Let your pain and let God's Word itself bring you to Christ. The church can be used both universally and locally. Paul said the mystery of hope that was hidden for the ages is now the clear gospel and is open to all, not just a select few. Christ in us is the only true hope. And Paul says it is the hope of glory. Glory is that glorified body that we receive on Resurrection Day when we return home to heaven. But glory is also the ability to overcome while here on earth, because this isn't our home. Glory is knowing God's grace is for each of us, not a select few. That is the true heaven on earth. Peace, unparalleled peace, when in the past we may have freaked out at the slightest of problems. Peace is ours in Jesus Christ. Paul makes it clear that those called to ministry are also called to proclaim Christ, to admonish when a person of faith strays from priority one, and to teach. Well, we're okay with the proclaiming and the teaching part, but the admonishing part, that carries a negative connotation with most people. But like a train veering off track, admonishment is simply done to set the train back on the track. It's a small adjustment, not a downpouring of negativity to continually make one feel lesser. It's just a small adjustment. The message says we teach in a spirit of profound common sense to bring each person to maturity. Think about when you try to communicate what you feel is a simple but profound common sense. Sometimes the recipient agrees. But at other times, they may have their own program running in the background, and your common sense suddenly just becomes their white noise in the background. Paul's goal was simply to bring all to spiritual maturity, and spiritual maturity is basic. Jesus Christ has all the answers. Amen? Nothing more. He is enough. He is our all in all, just like the song says. That is spiritual maturity. It's not a secret. Stay with His plans. Don't isolate from Jesus, even when we're called to isolate from our other environments right now. Green said, let our closeness to Christ strengthen the bond that we have with other believers in this church. Paul did it. We can do it. Build up the kingdom. Use every opportunity, even the coronavirus. In verse 29, when Paul said he strenuously contends with all his energy, the Greek root is our present-day word, agony. In other words, church work is not easy. Christian teaching is not always received easily. While we are blessed with the beauty around us, no one promised us a rose garden life. Rather, we will have to go through times of some agony. And so did Jesus. He knows our pain and He can empathize. Yet He is also God who can help us through our pain. Jesus promises the strength to get through His adjustments in life if we only stay focused on Him. Mr. Rogers, the beloved children's show host, never forgot the wisdom that his mother shared when he was a young boy and scared by the events that he saw on the news. I'm guessing that was about the time of World War II. She told him, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. My question to you is, are you that person? It's easy to get caught up in bad news, inundating our social media feeds and screaming from our television sets. But let's not forget about the signs of hope, encouragement, and acts of kindness being performed by people all across the country right now. They're teaching all of us that we can still practice community closeness and be helpers, even from a distance. This week I delivered our packages that our church prepared for the homeless. There were 98 packages there, and I was very proud of our little church as I delivered those to St. Barnabas in Paradise Valley. What a statement that is, that our little church is willing to practice that community closeness. If we're only focused on Jesus, we work with all our might to follow His leading. Remember when David said, what is man that you are mindful of him? Well, I'll tell you what man is. We are His creation. And He loves us because He created us. How do we get that leading from Jesus in us, the hope of glory? We start by sharing our story, even if we're sharing it electronically. We can listen to Christian music as opposed to negative music. We can listen to the Christian radio stations and the sermons online. We read our Bible every day. We can ask Jesus, what is it that I can do for you today? We can fellowship even online. Yes, we can. And we can journal, asking God to reveal in us what He wants us to do. During the year, my garden sometimes looks beautiful, with flowers blooming and vegetables sprouting. This is one of those times. I've had a little bit more time on my hands lately. But in the coldest part of our winter, and I use that term loosely, and in the agony of our summer, my garden doesn't look good at all. But it's during those times when the care becomes even greater, with soil amendments and composting and extra water and building up the soil to prepare for the glory in the spring. those preparatory things are necessary even with no immediate glory, because the sacrifice of time is creating an environment to receive those seeds when the spring comes. During those difficult times, and these difficult times, are you preparing your soil, your heart, to receive Christ? Are you repenting of sins and turning toward Him? It is Jesus, our only hope and the true hope of glory, from whom all things come. He's here, right now, to save our pathetic little messy lives. Yes, He is. He's here, and all help comes from Him. He is here to teach us the real meaning of love. He's here to give us the hope of glory. I'm going to close this morning with a quote from Spurgeon, because I don't have the ability to sum it up better than he did. It's a longer quote, but I think it has value, and so I quote. We live in a time when the gospel is clearly revealed in the Word of God, and when that Word has its faithful preachers lovingly to press home its teachings. Let us take care that we do not despise the mystery which has now become a household word. Let not the commonness of the blessing cause us to undervalue it. You remember how in the wilderness the Israelites fed upon angels' food until they had enjoyed it so long, so constantly, and so abundantly that in their wicked discontent they called it light bread. I fear that many in these times are gorged with the gospel like those who eat too much honey. They even venture to call the heavenly word commonplace and talk as if it were not only the old story, but a stale story as well. Are not many hungering after novelties, longing for things original and startling, I would add sensational, thirsting after a spiritual shot glass of sensational preaching, dissatisfied with Christ crucified, though He is the bread that came down from heaven? For us, let us keep clear of this folly. Let us rest content with the old food, praying day to day, Lord, keep giving us this bread. May it never happen to us as it happened with the Jews of the Apostles' time, who utterly refused the word of life, so that truth became to them a stumbling block, and those who preached it were compelled to turn to Gentiles. Thanks be to God, I might add. That's us. He closed with, if we despise the heavenly message, we cannot expect to fare better than they did. Let us not incur the danger of refusing Him that speaks from heaven. If there is life, rejoice in it. If there is light, walk in it. If there is love, rest in it. If the Lord God Almighty has at last set open the treasure of His grace and put it within your reach, stretch out your hand of faith and be enriched by it. Amen.